production of Whitfield Media Group. It's time for the fastest hour in radio, your home for NASCAR. We're racing talk radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We'll break down this weekend's race at Kansas. We'll hear from the winner, Mr. Martin Truex Jr. Also going to discuss the huge wreck that involved Logano Danica and put poor Eric Almirola in the hospital. Later in the show, we'll discuss the upcoming All-Star race at Charlotte. Plus, we'll have a special guest, Dwayne Earl Jefferson, who is the self-proclaimed biggest Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan. And we'll share
that's
power rankings.
That's a bold statement.
That is. And picks to win for the All-Star race. We got all that and much, much more on today's Racing Talk Radio, 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. Normally to my radio left sits Mr. Jason Hildebrand. But when a man goes on vacation next week, he says he's got so
he's
much
work
to do. He's
got to take a vacation get ready for his vacation.
I know. So I'm trying
What's up with that? There may be some bad talking about
Jason Hildebrand.
Yeah,
I mean,
here.
We can't do that. I mean, we're helping people, you know, educating people, and
giving the people what they
giving
want.
The people what they want. So that other voice you heard is Scott Webb. I don't know what to call you anymore.
No, I don't know either.
I did take the ugly
like
face
that.
Comment out.
Yeah,
of the way.
I would like to. I'll give you plenty of time to elaborate if you
yes,
like.
Yes. So the producer extraordinaire, the greatest co-host. Next to Jason Hildebrand, and
I almost appreciate that.
Just all around good guy. I mean,
thanks, buddy.
Today, anyway, because it's just me and him, so couldn't really do
just
this
remember,
without that. Right?
I control your mic.
Yes,
so.
You do that big time. So, Scott, it's really gotten hot outside. I know your golf game is getting ready to get tuned up because you don't play so well in cold weather.
I'm already starting to stretch now. Get loose, baby. It's gonna be some schooling. I've got graduation tomorrow. That'll be fun. Looking forward to. All that, all the festivities, all the high schools with graduation this week, Cleveland Friday and Bradley Saturday morning. So it's an exciting time of the year, and it's an exciting time in the NASCAR circuit as we get to All-Star Race weekend. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. They had a documentary about the first night race. One Hot Night is what they called it. And I watched that this week. It was really intriguing to see all the things that went into how they developed the system, the lighting system, and then the race itself with Kyle Petty wrecking Davey Allison right at the line and turning Earnhardt in the corner. Petty turned Earnhardt in the corner.
Petty wrecked everybody.
Yeah, that was it's been a long time since I've seen that one. So it was kind of great to walk down memory lane and see all that and see what a big deal it was. It was sold out. They were actually said at one point they were selling more tickets for the All-Star race than they were for the 600 just because of the newness of the first super speedway under the lights.
And, you know, NASCAR was kind of at the forefront of lighting tracks that way. It looked really weird to have lights in the infield at the bottom of the corners or whatever, and you kind of had to think about what are they doing. But the way it portrays, and I've been there at night at Charlotte, and the way it portrays on the track is just great.
Yeah, and the system's actually really really cool. They use mirrors to kind of to reflect the light, and they talked about it. They even showed they did like a 1/50th scale of the track, and they were playing around with all that sort of stuff. And not surprisingly, they said they got their best input from Dale Sr.
Yeah.
He said when the first time he got on the track, I mean, he was telling him it was like turn two, third light on the right, on the left there needs to be brought down about 10 feet or so. It was the detail he was putting in and giving the information. It just shows you how observant he was on the track. If he knew it was the third light in a particular grouping of lights, it just shows you the kind of, the way he kind of approached racing and how perceptive he was when he was in that race car.
And I'm sure, knowing his vocabulary, it wasn't just third.
Well,
light,
it probably
turn two,
it's probably so. It could have been a little more colorful, but you get my drift.
You couldn't hear that back then, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So speaking of lights, you know, that kind of shot them into. We're talking about NASCAR into putting lights at most of these tracks, and there's only a couple now that do not have them. But we went racing Saturday night under the lights at Kansas. in my opinion, really didn't disappoint. I mean, there were a lot of good cars that had to come to the, from the back due to the inspection issues before qualifying. And that's something, before we get into the race, it's becoming more prevalent. And they made a couple of announcements this week on how they're going to try to speed up that process or allow more time for them to come in. Scott, we've been at Bristol. We've seen them go through before this new LIS technology, and it seemed like they had, you know, it was 4 or 5 hours before qualifying. They were rolling cars through, and then they had to do it 2 or 3 more times. But here's my point. At Bristol, you got about a 400-yard walk from your trailer to the yeah. inspection site. At these bigger tracks, you've got a while to go.
You got to push your car all the way down, roll it all the way back, make the changes. It's a process, yeah, and you don't want to – they've got to find a way to kind of rectify this. You know, it's important. And listen, I know that the guys push the limits. It's their job to push the limits. It's NASCAR, you know, it's their position. They set the limits, and you have to find a way to monitor that. But there has to be a better way to speed up the process and make sure that, you know, these people are paying money to go to qualifying and all that sort of stuff and coming to see. They want to see those cars on track, and you don't want 10, 12, 15 cars stuck behind the wall because you can't get them through inspection. So obviously NASCAR and the drivers, hopefully this will be an area where the drivers, that new group they have, can all kind of sit down and put their heads together and come up with a solution that will work best for everyone.
I think before the drivers get together, sponsors will have a meeting with
NASCAR
want our sponsorship on the track.
Yeah, I'm sure that all three major manufacturers want to make sure that all their cars get out there and run.
So, very cool. Well, it was very interesting because of that. But, you know, early on in the race, and Saturday nights are a little difficult to watch a race. Sundays are great. Scott likes the snooze meter and stuff like that. Saturday nights, you usually have stuff going on. It was hard to catch the first half of the race because you're usually pretty busy, but it really didn't heat up until later, and that was quite the opposite for Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch was really hot up front. I know Jason sent a text and said, that it's Kyle Busch's race to lose, and he wound up losing it. And I think just because, and we talked before the show, the adjustments you make, you've got some cars that are fast in the light, and then they go backwards at night.
I mean, we see that. Every time there's a night race, we see, you know, track temperature plays such a factor or such a role in these races. And we always see comers and goers, in the 600 in particular. You know, they race, 200 plus miles in the sunlight. By the time the race ends, it's dark. And it's usually different cars at different times of the night that are able to handle that. So you've got to build a lot of maneuverability in your car. You've got to be able to build some ways that you can tweak your car to make sure that it gets that you can make the changes to help you run in the the variety of conditions that are out there. So it was one of those deals where Busch was super fast early, but they couldn't keep up with the changes, and he even talked about it later in the race when they talked to him after the race was over. For 2 or 3 laps on fresh tires, he was fine. He could run like everybody else. It's just that car went away a lot faster than some of the other ones.
It did, and a car that didn't go away a lot faster than some of the other ones, and it was obvious by the fact that he kept getting penalties pulling into pit road by going through other people's boxes. I guess he kind of had a brain lapse and forgot you really can't do that.
He does that quite a bit, though. Yeah. That's not the first time he's had driving through more than one pit box, but that car was fast.
Absolutely.
And he passed a ton of cars. I think somebody estimated on the broadcast that he passed over 90 cars, and we're talking about Jimmy Johnson. What a great, it just shows you, I mean, when they, it didn't matter where they start. It didn't matter where they qualify. They'll figure it out. And they did a great job. Fortunately, it was just too many cars to pass and more trouble late kind of hindered their movement forward.
Show you how good I am at this show prep thing, right?
Oh, hey.
The fact I just guessed 90 and then you just clarified 90. What I saw.
Well, I think actually you had put originally 75, and then the show producer went in and fixed it and made it 90, because I think that's actually about how many cars he passed.
Well,
but, you know, if you want to pat yourself on the back, wait till we get to who won the race.
Yeah.
We'll talk about picks
right.
who picked the winner this past week.
Yeah, we can kind of go there. So that's one of the things, though, that when you think about it, Scott, is the penalty situation. The LIS, we're talking about the pre-qualifying, that's making a difference. And there's a lot more penalties on pit road this year, it seems like, than normal. And it's a lot of stupid penalties, in my opinion, where you've got guys jumping over the wall too early and stuff like that. So the constant... you know, theory of trying to gain, you know, a tenth here, a tenth there, gets people in trouble all the time.
It does. But I think part of the new video replay system plays a big role in that, because who would have known if you had one guy over the wall one tenth of a second too soon without video replay. Right. So obviously the implementation of video replay has made a big difference in how that is monitored. Now you can actually see if a guy has driven through too many pit stalls. So all that is, but the thing I like about it is it's fair for everybody.
Right.
They've got a camera on each stall. They know exactly what's going on. They actually have it marked, kind of like, you know, like they're telestrating over top of it. Hey, this is your pit box. If you're too far here, too far there, you know, we can tell if you come over the wall before your guy enters the pit box, it's a penalty, and it's consistent. I think that's why we're seeing more penalties, because there is consistency now. There is speeding rolled penalties now, because they have more timelines and they're trying to make it safer. That's part of it, but it's also another element of the sport now. Pit stops are a big deal. You win and lose races and how quickly you can get in and off pit road. So these guys are going to push the limits, but they're going to have to do it within the rules.
You know, one thing, and I may be up for, you know, they can hire me if they want to, but teams need to start looking into, you don't even know what I'm going to say.
Well, I don't know, but that's how confident I am in you.
So what they need to hire is a guy that can walk in front of the camera when their guy is coming into the pit area. So what you see is like a guy just look at the camera and then the pit comes in. So
I don't think it quite works that way.
Yeah, well, that was a good idea. Anyway, all right, so let's get to this. This seems to be the biggest topic of discussion other than the winner from Kansas, and that was a big wreck. One of those wrecks that, you know, you didn't think you would see at Kansas. You know, there's some hard hits. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had a concussion there, one of his first in a practice wreck. This wreck seemed a little weird because Joey's brake rotor broke on a track that you don't really use brakes a lot. He come down, hit Danica. They go up into the wall. There's fire everywhere. My wife, who doesn't normally watch NASCAR races, was interested in the race because of the wreck. And then you see Eric Almirola kind of coming as almost like a dirt track car in the corner.
Yeah.
And
no
just
place.
Head
no
on with Joey Logano.
Nowhere to go.
And when the back of the car come up, you saw the rear end housing. They talked about that looked loose. And I wonder if that's why he couldn't control it going in, and that's why it was sideways. But big time wreck. Danica, of course, Scott, you know, she gets out. I think she had to pick the motor up off her lap and throw it over to the side and then get out of the car because the whole front of her car was gone. And goes after Joey Logano, right? Going for his car. Such an issue with her to where she's got to understand that she's good enough to be there. I hate that I just had to say that. She's good enough to be there.
That'll be on the podcast later for those of you who want to download that.
But she needs to realize that she doesn't have to go prove anything to anybody or try to, you know, beat up anybody in order for her to gain respect. Running clean, running good will get you respect, and it's automatic that she goes after somebody every time.
Well, I'll say this. She is a little bit of a hothead.
Yeah, a little bit.
When it comes to...
But Ricky gets his tail kicked all the time.
Yeah, when it comes to accidents. You know, that was just a racing accident. I mean, that stuff happens. It's unfortunate. Wrong place, wrong time. You know, sometimes you feel like it happens to you more often. Well, part of that may be because you're in that position where you're not out front all the time. So more things tend to happen when you're grouped around similar type drivers, and those kind of mistakes tend to happen. What happened on Saturday night was just unfortunate. Part of the problem was, is you're right, they probably didn't have enough brakes in that car, which caused the rotor to explode and cause the accident. You know, maybe they were running too light of a package, maybe for the speeds and the conditions of the track. Maybe they should have been in a little bit heavier rotor there. But, you know, that's just one of those things. We have that kind of stuff happens all the time. Unfortunately, you know, Eric Almirola is the one that paid the price. You could tell how visibly upset Joey Logano was when they finally got a chance to talk to him. Once Danica kind of heard and saw what happened, she calmed down. It was just unfortunate nobody wants, you don't want to see anybody get hurt in those situations, but sometimes we forget that's they're in a race car doing 180, 190 miles an hour, and bad things can happen.
Right.
When situations are like that, that's part of the danger of the sport. Part of why a lot of people like to watch and enjoy the sport because of the speed and the thrill and that type of stuff. And then, but sometimes, even with as much safety as they put into these cars, people are still going to get hurt. It could have been a lot worse. But fortunately, Amarillo was able to, not be as injured as he could have been.
Yeah, actually, think of what he had, a fractured vertebrae or something.
Yeah,
like
I think
that.
It's the five T5 or something like that. So, kind of compressed and fractured a little bit. So, it's they say it's in to kind of compare. Hamlin had one kind of similar to that. Kind of
it was all the way down.
Yeah, it was back. Much farther. He was out about a month. There's this they say this one's probably not as bad, but it'll still be interesting to see. I have not heard. I don't know if you have. If they've made any kind of decision about who's going to be in the car, obviously the All-Star race this week, it's not as big a deal. Next week for the points race in the 600, it'll be a little bit more of an issue. So we'll see how all that plays out.
Should be interesting. All right, we need to go to our first break. When we come back, we'll hear from the winner. Also, we will get the MRN 1 Minute Race Recap, something new on the show from our partners at MRN. You'll hear that as soon as you come back. We'll be right back in a second.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Truex grabs the lead, but here comes Blaney. Back to the inside.
Trouble in turn one, up and into the outside. Wall is Landon Castle. Trouble back straight away. Ty Dillon goes for a spin off turn number two.
Kyle Busch will win stage one of the Go Bowling 400. Something wrong with Jimmy Johnson. Off the pace, the field goes storming by. Ryan Blaney will win stage two.
Into the wall goes Joey Logano. Eric Almirola comes piling in. And the biggest hit of the bunch belongs to Danica Patrick. Flames erupting out from under that car. Jimmy Johnson gets turned. Johnson slides down into the infield grass.
Once again on the brake, Martin Truex Jr. jumps out in front. Ryan Blaney does all he can to stay up alongside. Martin Truex Jr. waits.
Welcome back live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. It's Racing Talk Radio 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle, co-host, producer. He's everything today.
Your producer Scott should Webb. Have been doing a better job right there. He went and got cut off or surprised when it was time to come back.
It was. I mean, people make mistakes, Scott.
Yeah, it happens.
It's okay. If we win a whole show without making a mistake, I would think
that would be a new record for sure.
Definitely. All right, so you heard a lot of information on that, and we really appreciate MRN and their partnership with Racing Talk Radio. Let's go ahead and get to the winner. I mean, Martin Truex Jr., really out of this Toyota bunch. And it never ceases to amaze me when I think about how he's doing what he's doing. When you think about everywhere he's been before, at Junior Motorsports, didn't do that well with Earnhardt and Ganassi, and then went to Michael Waltrip Racing. Of course, had the issues there, and then it seemed like his career went backwards a little bit. And then here he comes with a 78 team, a two car team now out of Denver, Colorado, when everybody else is in North Carolina. This guy. With I'm sure the funding is not as much as Joe Gibbs Racing.
Well, I'd say the funding's pretty good, though.
Well, Toyota now, being that there's a two-car team, there's more in there. But it just seems like they shouldn't be doing as good as JGR, and they're wearing them out.
Well, I mean, we see runs all the time in sports. It could be a particular team gets hot. They've been pretty consistent. Really, when they switched to Toyota and they aligned themselves with JGR, from the very start of the 500 last year, where they lose by a bumper in the 500, all last year and in the start of this year, they've been consistently one of the better cars. They're a top five, top ten car at every track, at every style of track now. So it doesn't really matter. It's not like they just run well at the mile and a half. They do run well at the mile and a half, but they've been able to run well at other places as well. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting the right pieces in place at the right time, and then everything just kind of clicks. It's just like any other sport. If you get you get a pitcher here and a pitcher there and a pitcher there, they may all be okay in certain situations, but you mix them together. Maybe you set one up as your seventh inning guy, your eighth inning guy. I know Cameron Bryan's getting excited right now, me talking baseball on here. But, you know, eventually you may find the right combination and it all may work. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now with Fern Turo Racing. We're seeing consistency. We're seeing everything kind of click. And not surprisingly, since I picked him to win this past week, he goes out and wins at Kansas at a racetrack that owed him one, because he really had he should have won there last year and had some, you know, some things not break his way.
Well, I mean, if you look at his stats, I mean, he's one of three drivers that has two race wins already this year, and then he's got the most stage wins. So it's not.
I think he has 15 playoff points already.
Yeah, 15 playoff points.
And those carry all the way to Homestead. So he's got more than anybody else. I think Keselowski's second with 12.
Yeah, he's got 12, and then you've got Jimmy Johnson with 10. But if you look at that, it's not just that he's, you know, running well at this track or this track. He's consistently well running well with the amount of stage wins that he has and playoff points. So really good to see Martin Truex. You know, I put in the show notes that this guy legitimately now, and I don't know that we could have said this. We probably could have said it last year with the way he ran, but you didn't know if it was going to last.
2 years ago, they were in Homestead for a chance to win the championship. Last year, you know, just had some things not break their way. You know, that's part of the playoffs, but you got to think that they're going to put themselves in position. They'll be around towards, you know, they'll be in the thick of things come November.
I'm going to make another prediction.
All right, I love it.
Well, and I've made a bunch, and I really don't remember all the predictions that I've made. But
we need to keep a running total around here somewhere.
Probably be a good thing.
How Nostradamus like you are.
Well, I mean, I've kept a running total of how many winners I've picked. I think that's two. And I might have just added one to my total, so
that's fine.
You never know.
Somebody,
but anyway.
I think I may have mentioned already. Somebody in this room picked somebody to win last week.
Right, you did that. I was trying to change the subject real fast. So
I saw that.
It was difficult because that's the only thing we have to talk about this segment, Martin Truex Jr. But anyway, so I'm going to say the 78 is 78 may be your NASCAR champion this year. Ooh, I know I'm bold on the Jimmy Johnson bandwagon.
Listen, I think you've thrown enough into the different hats that you've got all bases covered. Now you just need to pick a Ford driver, and you'll have a couple Toyotas, a Chevy, and then you throw your name in one of the Ford hats, and then you'll have all your bases covered.
If I don't get the driver right, at least I'd get the manufacturer's championship right, which is kind of where I'm going on that, so I can have something.
It's going
to
be hard
to
beat those blue ovals so far this year. They look pretty strong.
They do look pretty strong. Let's hear from Martin Truex Jr. on his big win at Kansas.
I can't even tell you. It feels amazing to be here. It's been a long time coming to this racetrack for sure. We talked, on Friday about it. The close calls, the laps led, the heartbreaks that we've been through here. So definitely proud tonight to finally cross that checker flag first and bring it home for the guys.
Big win for him for sure, and that's two. And Scott mentioned earlier, alluded to the amount of playoff points that he has. That's huge going into the playoffs when we start that in around September, October. All right, another driver really, Scott, that this weekend that, you know, is quietly done pretty well. We haven't talked about him much, but Chase Elliott is, you know, at the forefront of the season. He was, you know, decent. We were talking about him a lot, and then he seemed to fall off. And still fourth in the points. I think this guy's got a chance to really make a run here in the summer.
Yeah, you know, eventually, you know, it's going to have to be about winning races. That's really the next step. That's the next step Chase has to take is doing that. Blaney had a fast car. We really didn't talk a lot about Blaney yet. Blaney had a super fast car, won the pole, had an opportunity. I thought maybe on that last restart that Blaney was going to be, he seemed to be a little faster than Truex on the short run, but Truex got such a great start. Brad Keselowski last week, I mean, this guy to me is my favorite to win the championship right now. They had no business finishing in second place this past week, and he pulled one out of nowhere. He should have finished 6th, 7th, 8th, and he gets a second-place finish. So the Blue Deuce, they seem to have their ducks in a row, and they're, you know, so you throw that in. Larson was good, not great. They've been kind of that's kind of been their mantra the last couple of weeks, have been good, not great. Can they reignite and find some of that fire and passion and speed that they had earlier in the year? A lot of interesting stories leading into the All-Star race.
It is for sure. And did you vote for Ryan Blaney? Did you vote for Ryan Blaney?
I will vote for Ryan Blaney if he's not. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody wants to see that dude with his foot mashed to the floor trying to wreck people at the All-Star race. Absolutely.
I will say, you know, you probably have time and space on my Twitter feed to do that, since I saw a comment about the Google whatever you do was there were very few comments this week, which was nice. It gave me a good little break.
No, it did give you a break. Yeah. I apologize for that. We had senior night festivities last night here at Walker Valley.
You should broadcast the graduation. I think that would be a great thing.
We can. Just go to the Spills Twitter page, and I'll have all that information posted a little bit later today.
You didn't even know you're going to be able to give your own self a plug. That was good.
Thanks, buddy. That's softball. Just toss me one across.
That's a great community thing you do, Scott. I really appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah,
that was great. Back to racing. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the Monster Energy Series point standings, as well as we'll give you some information on the All-Star race and the format, which should be really fun this Saturday night. Got a special call from the biggest self-proclaimed Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan coming up at the beginning of the fourth segment. We'll cover all that and more when we come back.
We'll be back faster than a buzz off a can of Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Hello and welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. I'm Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb in the studio, Jason Hildebrand taking a vacation.
Yeah.
If that's what you
How
call
does that
it.
Work?
I don't know. But
it's almost like working banker's hours, isn't it?
I don't know.
Ooh. Ooh.
Says the guy that gets off 3 months out of the year. I mean, to play golf and go to Michigan and play golf again and go back to Michigan and then go
to
Florida.
Hey, listen, I want you to know.
Cross country trip.
I was on the show when I was on vacation.
You were?
Yeah.
You did call in, buddy. I remember that. I tried to get you blocked, but it wouldn't happen. And I don't know why Jason sent his power rankings in, because how does that work? Right? When you're out, I mean, I don't know that we
don't pay attention to that? No, we're trying to be a little more straightforward this year.
I didn't think we did. That's a good song choice, Arnold Tarpley says. Woo, White Wedding.
Little Billy Idol for you.
I'll tell you what. Spinning the tunes over there.
Eggies at 8.
Let's get to the Monster Energy
Talk
Series.
Talk 101 through the bus.
Points. You missed your calling. School teacher out.
Yeah.
Radio DJ.
Radio DJ in.
9 to 12.
9 to 12.
Take it from there.
Monsters ball.
Wow. Monster Energy Series point standings brought to you by Stephanie Painter. Just in on the text message, I got the house for sale of the week. And guess what? I'm assuming it's free. She didn't put a price with it.
Hey, first one there.
You might need to call her. All right. 219 Heather Oaks Trail in Farmingdale subdivision. 3 bedrooms, 2 full baths, 1,464 square feet with a full, partially finished basement. If you got a bunch of kids and you want to put them downstairs so you can enjoy some peace, there you go. Make sure you give Stephanie Painter a call at CryLike, 473-9545, or you can reach her on her cell, 650-9429. Guys, she will get it sold or she will help you purchase. Scott, my man, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Series point standings following the Go Bowling 400 at Kansas Motor Speedway. No, it's Kansas Speedway, not Motor Speedway.
Either way.
Kyle Larson still on top of your standings. He has a 44-point lead over Martin Truex Jr. Brad Keselowski's third, Chase Elliott fourth, Jamie McMurray fifth, Kevin Harvick sixth. A nice run by Kevin Harvick this week. Just kind of ran out of time there. Kyle Busch, 7th. Jimmy Johnson, 8th. Joey Logano, 9th. And in 10th place, Clint Bowyer. 11th place, just 26 points back of Bowyer, is my man Ryan Blaney. I think I'm getting on the Ryan Blaney bandwagon.
Sounds like it.
A little bit.
Because he drives a Ford.
Yeah, he does drive a Ford. Hey, Ford provided food and meals and shelter for me for many years. So, big Ford guy here. And that is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series point standings.
We need to shorten that.
Hey, listen, I'm not the one that got the title sponsor.
I'm just saying. They need to
shorten
it.
Good Lord.
That's the crazy thing. All right, that was brought to you by Stephanie Painter at CryLock Realtors. Again, 219 Heather Oaks Trail in the Farmingdale subdivision. 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,464 in the square footage. Full, partially finished basement. Call her for a price. That'd be 650-9429 or 473-9545. Scott, we've got a lot of, the NASCAR race, you talked about that at the beginning of the show, or the All-Star race, yeah. Is that what I said?
Or the NASCAR race. There will be a NASCAR race. There'll be many NASCAR races. There'll actually be a truck race on Friday night, All-Star race Saturday night, 600 the following weekend.
How did I lead you into that?
I don't know, and I just, good. yeah, That's why I'm here for you, buddy.
It's what happens when you talk 5 minutes or 54 minutes in an hour. You kind of get messed up. All right, so a little different format this year. You've got the open format.
Well, that would be different how? There's a different format every year.
Well, I know. But I'm
every single year. That's one of the things that absolutely drive me nuts about the All-Star Race. One, I understand why they have it at Charlotte.
Is this a TSSAA moment?
This is I need one of those buzzers. Rant. I understand why they want to do it at Charlotte, because it keeps most of the teams at home for a couple weeks. It's kind of a mini break, a mini vacation there. But the racetrack, the racing has just not been terrific the last several years. They've made so many changes to the format. You can't keep up. The best race of the whole evening will be the open race for the two qualifiers to get in. It was exciting last year. I think Blaney won that last year. A lot of problems with the All-Star Race. Hopefully, we'll see some with some of these stages and some of the things they're trying to do, kind of improve what's going on.
Definitely should be. And so the open format is going to be three stages. You'll have one 20 lap, then they'll go to the next one, which will be 20 laps, and then the final, which will be 10. If we remember correctly, I think they split them up before in the past and ran a couple of races. And to kind of get it in there and stuff like that, where the two advanced or something like that. So a little different there. The All-Star format, the field is come up with by the 2016-2017 race winners, the All-Star winners, the NASCAR fan vote winner, and the open stage winner, and then the Scott Webb winner, and the Jamie Kyle winner. Pretty much anybody with a big sponsor gets
anybody
in.
Anybody with a big sponsor gets in.
Yeah.
So we're going to leave no stone unturned on that one.
And then when they get ready to go, they'll race three segments. They'll have four. They'll race 20 laps, 20 laps, 20 laps, and then they'll go to the final stage, which will be 10. So
10-car shootout there, too.
That is going to be huge, and the winner gets a cool $1 million.
Listen, it's not a bad Saturday night.
So, Saturday nights are always good, especially when you're All-Star racing. All right, so we got a couple of drivers that they interviewed this week and asked about the All-Star race. Denny Hamlin was one. You know, they told him, you won the 2014 All-Star race. What does it mean to guys like you to win that event?
It's a driver's race, I guess you could say. I mean, it's a short format, a lot of different segments, a lot of strategery that goes into winning that type of race. And it was a great night. Obviously, it's one of those, you know, resume items you like to check off of your list for sure.
Yeah, definitely one of those resume items that you want to check off your list. And I forget the list. I just take the $1 million, right? So we'll go with that. Matt Kenseth, you know, and one of the things we talk about, and they, you know, I guess the drivers allude to a lot, is this is kind of a test session considering when they run it, you know, later on in the night for the Coca-Cola 600 and the night part of that race. Matt Kenseth, they ask him about that and ask him that basic question. Is this a test session for the Coca-Cola 600?
I mean, I look at it as another racer go out and try to win. I mean, it's a big race. It's fun to be part of that. I've not been part of it every year, and that always stinks. You certainly want to be in the top 10. You certainly want to go try to win that 10-lap shootout, win a million. It's really fun when you can win that race. I've been fortunate enough to win it once. And it's a really cool feeling, a really fun race. And it's the only time you run at night, so I don't look at it as a test session. I don't think you're going to want to try something that's not going to run good there. But I think you certainly can use some of the notes from that for the 600 the next week, because it's really the only nighttime track time that you get.
And Matt Kenseth, always a great interview, very energetic. Does he ever smile?
He never smiles. Oh. And he likes heavy metal. And I don't understand that.
Him and Mark Martin, they're two of the weird guys. Well, Mark Martin likes rap.
He's hip hop guy.
Yeah. Can't see that by what he did. So as we do know,
we may have some old school rap coming up.
I need to bring it a little in.
Well, hey, listen, you never know what's going to play next.
All right, so Dale Earnhardt Jr., this will be his last All-Star race. For you junior fans out there, I know we got one coming up. This might be a little big deal for him. So, if NASCAR, if the theory of, you know, the 4th of July race after his dad's death holds true, this would be the last race in the All-Star for Dale Earnhardt Jr. Could NASCAR let him put a little extra horsepower under the car?
Here's the conspiracy theories.
Right. Well, they asked him if he was going to let his emotions get the best of him after this one.
You know, the All-Star race to me has always been very important. And I was, as a kid watching that race and watching my father run it, hear him talk about it and hear him explain how important it was to him, what it meant to him, and how hard he tried in every event. That really cemented in my mind what that race really means to the sport. It certainly stands alone and is a special, unique event. And I will miss the process of the All-Star Weekend. The build-up to the race, the preparation and the practice, and the scheming in the garage and the strategies. And they change the format every year, so it's something new. And I'm going to just miss being a competitor in that atmosphere, because the All-Star race is you get competitive in the event, but there's a lot of pride to be in that race.
Sounds like he's at a horse race or something like that. They were screaming in the background.
That's what kind was of the that? Point.
You know, Scott, I was thinking about the All-Star race memories that I had, and I know you shared one. I'll get you kind of share it again just in case somebody wasn't listening. But there was some big, races in the All-Star race, and it used to be run in the daytime. And I remember, I think it was Darrell Waltrip or Jeff Bodine won, spinning out each other. Also remember Dale Earnhardt's passing the grass on Bill Elliott. Which was a big deal then, and showed just the talent that Dale Earnhardt had. What's your memories? I know you talked about Kyle Petty earlier.
Well, that I think part of that is that there's not a lot of great memories. That the race has kind of been, I guess it got exciting once they started offering the $1 million bonus for that. Obviously, freshly in my mind after watching that documentary on the 25th anniversary of running it at night and the process they went through, and then to see the old highlights of the race and the old mellow yellow Kyle Petty car out there and Davey Allison and Allison wins that race, gets wrecked at the line by Kyle Petty. And I guess my thoughts on that would be, where would we be talking about Davey Allison in terms of some of the all-time greats had his life not been cut short? Because right. as me growing up a Ford fan, I mean, my dad worked at Ford's. It was right down the street. He walked to work every single day, and every car we ever owned was a Ford. Every car I've ever owned has been a Ford.
I can attest to that. I pull behind you every Wednesday.
So I was always a Ford fan, and what Davey Allison was able to do in that vehicle, and it just made me. I just kind of pondered. This guy's career arc was going way, way up, and he was, he had the potential. Alan Kowicki was in that race, yeah. Another guy in a Ford car. It was kind of bittersweet to watch. It was great to see those guys run again and see some of the highlights, and in that particular race, Earnhardt's actually leading going into three. And gets under, Kyle Busch gets underneath him. I don't know if he touched him. He may have just barely tapped him and spun him out. And then Allison beats Kyle Petty the line, and he wrecks at the line. But everybody thought that Earnhardt and Kyle Petty were going to have this big strum afterwards, and they met each other afterwards and were just laughing, because they understood it was just one of those racing things. It was at that time there was $200,000
right
on the line. There's not seven figures on the line like they are
but
this
week.
But
that's one point, though, if you think about it. I wonder if this race, and we got to go to break here in a minute, but I wonder if this race doesn't mean as much to these guys now, because $1 million to them, I mean, you're 40, first or 40th place.
Listen, I don't care how much money you make. And those guys make good money.
Yeah.
But seven figures is seven figures. That's a lot of cashola, buddy.
Yeah,
that's a lot of coin. You're going to try to do what you can with no points on the line. I guess that's the intrigue on it. You can if you wreck your car, and you just wreck your car. That's all it is. There's nothing to it. Qualifying will be interesting to see those guys going Mach 5 down the front stretch, getting right. Their pit stall. That's always pretty wild. So
hey, one other thing is they're going to receive one set of soft tires for the race. So each team's going to get one set of soft tires. Now, what that does, I don't know.
All that just means is there's going to be somebody's going to go out there and have their car set up one way, and they're going to put tires on there and just going to wreck a bunch of people. That's what I hear.
That is it, probably.
That may be what actually happens.
That's some more strategery right there, yeah, with the soft tires. So, all right, when we come back, we'll have our special guest, the self-proclaimed Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan fanatic, and that would be Dwayne Earl Jefferson. He'll be with us right after the break. We'll be back in just a second.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand taking a two-week vacation or a vacation to get ready for his vacation next week. That'll reflect in his power rankings later. Guaranteed. The power rankings that
I'm not going to say anything, but the numbers he sent me and the numbers that I had were very, 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 very similar.
Yes, I could tell that as I was looking. It looked like a 78 might have made it up further.
By the way, we went BC rankings. Boys coming out of the break. So.
That was nice. I'm telling you, I think you are auditioning for your next job, which is the...
80s and 8.
There you go.
Right here on Talk 101 through the Buzz.
So we'll be good. All right, it's my pleasure. I've been waiting for this. We've been trying to work out this deal for a while now. We've been talking with a couple of people to try to get this guy on the air, and he's well sought after in the NASCAR community, and partly because of the pending retirement of Dale Earnhardt Jr. But this is Delbert Earl Jefferson, and he is the self-proclaimed biggest Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan. Delbert, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, Jamie, I just want to thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Well, it's been a long time. It seems like we've been working, you know, with your agent trying to get you on. We don't have any money to pay, so yeah. We appreciate you coming on and doing this for free.
There's agents involved in this show.
There is. So for our listening audience, Delbert, let's tell everybody what you do for a living.
Sure, Jamie. Well, I'll tell you, I got a couple jobs. I'm a part-time trucker, part-time CB NASCAR radio host. And I also do some tennis instruction on the side.
Tennis instruction? That's a little different.
Well,
so
that's right.
You said you were a NASCAR CB radio host. Where could I hear your show?
So if you're driving, you know, from Cleveland going north to Knoxville on I-75, around exit 60, turn your frequency to 88.8, the Duke. And you'll get my show.
Wow. And we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you. I hope you understand that, Delbert. So you say you're the self-proclaimed Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan. How long have you been following Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Well, I've been following her since 1988.
You do realize there, Delbert, he was 14 years old at that point in time.
Well, he had a lot of moxie, right? His daddy raised him right. Yeah. I don't know if you know who his daddy was. But he's pretty legend in his own right. And I'll tell you, there, a lot of them boys were scared of Junior at the ripe old age of 14.
Well, I guess that's probably when he started driving a car, I would hope. But, you know, it's one of those things. So when we were, you know, talking a couple weeks ago about, you know, what you were thinking with Junior, and this was right after the retirement, and you kept saying that there was a reason that Dale Earnhardt Jr. wasn't winning. And you never would tell me, so would you say that now on our show?
Well, you know, you boys here in the mainstream radio media may not get the full scoop on all the stories, but us boys here in the CB, we get the full skinny. I hold on good authority that the reason that Junior's not won every race is because NASCAR is cheating. There's a large conspiracy to keep Junior from winning races. And they're complicit in it.
Now, how are they doing that? I know we talked about Talladega. You had said that, you know, it's a definite win and it didn't happen. And you said you had a reason that he didn't win?
Sure, yeah. I mean, okay, so look at Talladega, right? You got a race there that Junior done pretty well at over the years. And the reason for that is that the track ownership, they like to keep it clean and let Junior race on an equal playing field. Well, this year they weren't looking, and the NASCAR commissioner stepped in the pit road like a ninja, and he applied Junior's brakes. Jamie, he raced that whole race with his brakes 20% applied, and I think he did pretty darn well considering that.
So NASCAR went in and applied his brakes 20%, which knocked off the speed and allowed him. And it does make sense, Scott, if you think about it, because you know, he did get on the top and really couldn't move anywhere.
Sure.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was Scott. That's our co-host. You know.
Oh, Delbert.
Yeah. Okay. I don't. Yeah. I hear you, buddy.
Are you
well,
there?
I just think it's just not fair. I mean, I don't know why they've got this whole thing against Junior, but you can see they've been doing it for a number of years.
Well, that is true. He doesn't have a lot of wins. I think a lot of Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans were trying to figure out what was what was causing that. So let's get to the big point here, and this is one of the things that you and I talked about when we did, and that's Junior's retirement. What's your thought on Dale Earnhardt Jr. Retiring from NASCAR?
Well, Jamie, I think what you got there is a brilliant piece of strategy on the part of Junior. He's going to go in retirement. He's going to lull the older drivers into a false sense of security, and then he's going to let this NASCAR conspiracy die down, and then he's going to come out of nowhere like a tiger mongoose and stay atop that pedestal like he rightfully deserves.
So are you claiming this now that he is going to win the championship this year?
That's right. He's going to pull a Brett Favre, come out of retirement, and he's going to win.
Wow, that's a bold prediction considering where he's at. He's going to have to win a race to get in.
Well, if NASCAR would let him win a race, I think they could do pretty well. I just wish they'd let him compete.
That is true. That's an interesting perspective. I don't know that I've ever heard that. We know he hadn't been running that well this year. When he does get done, you do have Jeffrey Earnhardt that is I think his nephew, and is running next year. Are you going to carry on being a fan of the Earnhardt name?
Well, I don't know about that, Jamie. I don't even think Jeffrey Earnhardt knows how to turn left. I'm more a fan of Junior and his pappy. Have been, will always be. And you just watch. You just watch. There's going to be. I think he's going to surprise everybody next year.
Well, that should. He won't be there next year, Delbert. So you're talking about.
He's coming out of retirement.
Oh, he's coming out of retirement next year. Okay. All right. So it's our time of the show where we normally, Delbert, do power rankings and a pick to win, and we got the All-Star race this week. In your expert opinion, and you can catch Delbert on 88.8 The Duke on your CBR or CB radio if you're driving down the Interstate 75. In your expert opinion, who would you think is going to win this All-Star race?
Well, I'd say I think Danica Patrick's probably going to win that. I'm joking. Danica's not going to win. I'm going with 88.
So 88's going to win the whole thing this weekend at the All-Star race.
You're darn right he is.
All right. So he wins $1 million if he does that. He may just go out in style with the All-Star race and just not come back the rest of the year.
Well, maybe he'll do that. I don't think that's the case, though.
Well, Delbert, man, it has been a pleasure having you on. We'll have to get you on more often with these. Anytime there's news about Dale Earnhardt Jr., definitely you have an interesting perspective, and we appreciate you coming on. And make sure you tune in to the frequency 88.8 The Duke on the CB radio. I appreciate it, Delbert.
Well, Jamie, thanks for having me. I was glad I could educate you boys in the mainstream media.
You've done that. Thanks, Delbert. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I don't, wow. First of all, I don't know that we've ever been called mainstream media. That's stretching the truth right off the bat.
I kind of like that though. That's good. Makes us feel.
We may
important.
Not be mainstream anymore.
That probably just got cut off right there. I'm gonna have to check my sources next time somebody says I got a guest for you. So we'll have to figure that out. So all right, let's get to our power rankings. Scott, mine and yours, I know will be correct, but. I don't know about Mr.
Well,
Hildebrand.
I'm going to let you handle Hildebrand's for
I'll take care of that. So on my power rankings, I'm going to go backwards on this. We always get told at work to read left to right, right? I'm going to go right to left. I entered in the number 78
Is that how they read numbers down at Regions?
That's exactly right. So I'm going to go with the 78 car of Martin Truex Jr. to be fifth, added into my power rankings. Kyle Busch, rowdy, will be number four. Jimmy Johnson stays steady at number three. I've still got Kyle Larson up there where it looks like you two boys might have lost a little faith in my guy. He's up in the second spot. And then the Blue Deuce, Brad Keselowski, setting in first. It looks like Jason's got a pretty similar, well, not really, set of power rankings. He's got number one,
as you scurry for numbers.
He's got DJ Kennington. He's competed in one race. I don't know why he picked him. And then Jeffrey Earnhardt, the aforementioned Jeffrey Earnhardt. I guess he's a big fan. Reed Sorensen out of Atlanta, Georgia, I guess because he's closed. He did put Danica Patrick in there. And his all-time favorite, Matt DiBenedetto, which I guarantee he put him in there because he's voting for him.
He's going to be
All-Star
in, baby.
Race.
I see. Saw him get some votes the other day on the Twitter. So
yeah, DiBurrito is
DiBurrito.
What they're calling. So what you got?
Well, my list is going to be eerily close to Jason's original list before he made those amendments right before we went on the air. But I moved the 78 up to number one. I think I had him third last week. I think what Truex has been able to show that he is, he's obviously one of the classes in the field. I'm really impressed, and I almost moved Keselowski to one with what Keselowski was able to do last week with not having the best car, but finding a way at the end to put himself in position, not really win that race, but to get all the way up to second was really impressive. I did drop down Larson to third. They've been good, not great. I mentioned that earlier in the show. Need to see a little more out of them. It's time for them to start battling for these wins again. 48 there, and I had some debate. Really couldn't find a car that I liked. I left Logano in at five. There's probably a number of cars, McMurray and some other guys, that you could, a nice run by Kevin Harvick this week starting to show. Maybe they're going to slowly start to get out of that little bit of funk they were in. But I left Logano in. Logano was having a decent run till the rotor broke on that. So that's my top five.
Top five. All right, so we got the top five power rankings out of the way. We got 4 minutes. I'm going to go with this winner this week. No surprise. I mean, we're racing at Charlotte's a mile and a half. He's been down. I'm going. Actually, just went and bought some caramel peanut M&Ms. Caramel M&Ms.
Now you're talking my lingo.
Yeah, so those just come out. Maybe you should become a fan. You'll get what I get, and that's the Kyle Busch special treatment with M&Ms. I'm going to go with Rowdy to take the All-Star race this weekend.
Right, would you like to make Jason's pick for him? Or
yeah,
would you like to
I got to do
with
that.
The pick that's actually on the list.
Oh, that is. You know what? Jason, this is where it's come to. Jason picked the 88 of Dale Earnhardt Jr. I mean, I don't know why, but he did.
You got to win sometime. Might as well win when $1 million are on the line. no sense doing that.
Right.
I went with...
No surprise.
The guy that absolutely dominated the 600 last year and the guy that just recently won, Martin Truex Jr. I really like that. Keselowski would be I almost went Keselowski, but I'm going to roll the dice 2 weeks in a row with we've seen good things happen a couple times when Johnson went back-to-back. Maybe Truex goes back-to-back. So I went with Martin Truex Jr. to win this week at Charlotte.
Not a big pick at Charlotte. I mean, gosh, I think he's still lapping the field after last year.
Yeah, last year 600 was about as impressive a run as you can make. And especially in an endurance type race like that, the longest race of the year, I think he led about 9 or 10 laps, and that in 400 out of 400, that's just ridiculous. So they'll be strong again this week.
That's probably because not a lap car, but somebody stayed out on old tires just to try to hope for a caution, and that's the only reason he didn't lead, because he had to come back up. But I don't know that we could say there's going to be any storylines come out of Charlotte this weekend. I think the one thing I'm looking for is who's going to drive the 43 car in Eric Almirola's absence. Does he bring up Bubba Wallace? You know, is there somebody like
Bubba,
that?
You know, there's been some names thrown out there. It'd be interesting to see how all that shakes out. They do some good things. All right? You know, I like the open. Usually the open race is pretty racy because, you know, it's their chance to get in there and make a little money.
Right.
So the open race is usually a lot of fun. They're doing some segment things with that as well. Qualifying is terrific. Seeing those guys come off there at 160 miles an hour and try to get that thing stopped and started up again. And I think they're going to have to do it twice.
Yeah.
That makes for a lot of excitement in terms of how all that plays out in qualifying. So that's the exciting part. The racing, it can kind of come and go.
Right.
You know, it all depends on what happens. Hopefully that final 10-lap shootout will be something that'll be pretty interesting to watch. I did have a chance. They showed one of the old Talladega races. Actually, it was at 90. What was the year Bobby Allison went in the fence? Is that 94?
Yeah.
I saw a replay of that the other day, and we talk about, sometimes I think we look at the history and we think of, oh, the old days, everything was great, but there was a lot of, and I think Elliott was the year he set the record at 212. I mean, there's a lot of single file, not a lot of passing guy, 18 laps car lengths in front. So I think we're racing wise, it's better than we think right now. I think sometimes we lose perspective a little bit.
I think the late 90s, early 2000s is what kind of got us spoiled at those big tracks. And then, you know, once they changed the cars and messed with the cars from the old style that they had before to the car of tomorrow, I think that's when it kind of started going downhill.
It went downhill for me fast.
It was definitely that. All right, so big show this today, and appreciate Mr. Delbert Earl Jefferson joining us. Hope to have him on again soon. And thank you all for listening. This has been another edition of Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Join Jamie, Kyle, and Scott Webb every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.